As we talk about a sermon not being about selfish, but I played the oboe in high school, and anytime we have an oboist, I think that Philip and Taylor did it just for me. So thank you for that musical message. It warmed my heart. We're continuing in the parables of Jesus today, and we're starting in Matthew 19, and the parable of the rich young man. We'll start in verse 23, but we're really, really going to focus on tonight in verse 20, the laborers in the vineyard. Before we dive into scripture, let's pray. Dear gracious and loving God, in the silence of the star, in the heaving of the sea, in the rolling of the hills, we see you, Lord. In the voice of a friend, in the chatter of a child, in the words of a stranger, we hear you, Lord. In the calmness of our minds and the longing of our hearts, we feel you, Lord. Allow me to move aside and let your words be spoken. Amen. So here we are, Jesus walking along the road to Jerusalem, and he's walking with his disciples, his friends. And again, they're asking him questions, and Jesus, in Jesus' style, doesn't ever really give a direct answer. He tells parables so that you can then think, digest, and understand. What I found interesting in my time studying scripture and reading scripture is when I read a parable in a different time in my life, I can identify with a different character. Each and every time something rises to the top as like a spotlight of this is what you need to pay attention to this week. Let's start in Matthew 19, verse 23. Jesus says to his disciples, "Truly I tell you, it'll be hard for a rich person to enter the kingdom of heaven. And again I tell you, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God." When the disciples heard this, they were greatly astounded and said, "But wait, who can be saved?" But Jesus looked at them and said, "For mortals, it is impossible. But for God, all things are possible." And then here comes Peter again with the question. Then Peter says in reply, "Look, we have left everything and followed you. What then do we have?" And Jesus said to them, "Truly I tell you, at the renewal of all things, when the Son of Man is seated on the throne of his glory, you who have followed me will also sit on the 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone who has left their house, or their brothers, or their sister, or their father, or their mother, or children, or fields, for my name's sake, will receive a hundredfold and will inherit eternal life." And then he ends with this: "But many who are first will be last, and the last will be first." I'm reading that scripture to set up what is coming next, because in true Jesus fashion, they don't quite grasp what he's saying. So he's going to tell another story. In these sections of parables, Jesus is talking about the kingdom of heaven and what it will look like. He's dismantling names and labels and status and bringing us together as one. Yet, it's funny, this afternoon, I spent the afternoon teaching a class in the student ministry, and my class was called the Jesus Jacket. I think I've told y'all this analogy before, but it's this analogy that you put on a jacket when you're getting ready for Saturday night worship. You're a little bit nicer in the parking lot. You're a little bit nicer as you greet people in church. And then when you're in in a business meeting on Monday morning, you flip that jacket off and you get to business. And talking, it was mainly junior high boys and girls in this room, and we talked about when it was easier to be Christian and when it was more difficult to be Christian. And I loved some of the examples they said, because I've been at this church 13 years, so I was real humbled because some of them were not 13 yet. And so I've been at this church longer than they've been alive. And I was asking them these questions, and this is what they said. It's easiest to be Christian when things are really great and when things are really horrible. When you need God the most, and when you are just joy-filled. I was like, all right, what about Thursday, second period? They're like, oh. And they were all just talking about people, teachers, just homework, stress. They're like, yes, Thursday, second period, it's not really easy. And this passage is going to point out to us that God continually comes after us. God is always seeking a relationship with us. In the Wesleyan faith, we call that God's prevenient grace, right? That it's coming beforehand. I love to describe it to people as God's hand reaching out for you before you even understand. But what's so great about our faith journey is once we say yes to God in Christ, that hand doesn't vanish up into the heavens. No, that's when we join hands with God, recognizing that God is in our life and journey together. Now, as I've set this up, talking about faithfulness and togetherness, I'm going to tell a story that Jesus told, and y'all are going to give me the stink eye. Matthew 20. For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. After agreeing with the laborers for the usual daily wage, he sent them to his vineyard. Pause. So he went out in the morning and got people to work his land. And he said to them, I'm going to pay you $20 for the day. And they said, great, I accept that price. Thank you very much. And as God does, continually seeking relationships with us, after he went out about 9 o'clock, he saw others standing idle in the marketplace. And he said to them, you also go to the vineyard, and I will pay you what is right. So they went. When he went out again about noon and 3 o'clock, he did the same. So early in the morning, 9 o'clock, noon, 3 o'clock. About 5 o'clock, he went out again. And he found others standing around, and he said to them, why are you standing idle all day? And they said to him, because no one has hired us. And he said, then you also go to the vineyard. I'm going to keep reading. When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to the manager, call the laborers and give them their pay, beginning with the last and going to the first. When those hired at 5 o'clock came, each of them received the usual daily wage. Now when the first came, they thought they would receive more, but each of them also received the usual daily wage. And when they received it, they grumbled against the landowner, saying, these last only worked 1 hour and you made them equal to us, who bore the burden of the day and the scorching heat. But he replied to them, friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me the daily wage? Take what belongs to you and go. And I choose to give this last the same that I give you. Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or are you envious because I am generous? So the last will be first, and the first will be last. Okay, we're going to break this up section by section because I'm seeing your stink eyes. The kingdom of heaven is like dot, dot, dot. I don't know about you, but I need, thrive, and better because of God's grace in my life. There have been times in my life where I am the first one at the field. I work hard, and guess what I do when I'm working hard? I make sure the master sees how hard I'm working. I have also been the person that has stood idle all day. Do you see that this passage mentioned that twice? Why do you stand idle? And what does the master do? Invites them to work, invites them to participate in the work. Now, here's where it gets confusing, because this person who only worked 1 hour got the same wage as the person who worked all day long. And is it fair? Nah, it's really not. If you look at labor versus money and time and effort and probably sweat equity, it's not fair. When was the first time you told somebody, life's just not always fair? I'm thinking it probably started around 3 or 4 years old. But as I read this story again and again, because really, I am a person who likes structure, I like rules, I like things to be right and fair. But also I think about how Dan and I raised our 2 boys. One had my personality, let's just say he's a little strong-willed. We needed to parent him firmly, with love and guidance and a lot of firmness. Our youngest is more like Dan, more tender-hearted. And if we parented him the same way we parented Cody, we would have broken him, right? If you look at it, though, you could say it's because he's the baby of the family. We're just kinder to him. That's not true. The expectations were the same. The delivery was different. So if we break this up verse by verse, the part that really stood out to me this time is verses 3 through 8, where we see that God, the master of the vineyard, right? We understand this is an illustration of God in our lives, that God goes out all day seeking those who are being idle, tapping them on the shoulder and saying, let's engage, let's work, let's come together. No one is ever too late to enter God's kingdom, to enter our faith. This idleness, it's not something I'm good at. I don't sit idle. But they're standing idle, waiting for purpose. Not once in here does it say, why are you being lazy? They're just waiting for purpose, for something to work for. I feel like sometimes, as I was talking to the kids today, it's those moments where you feel unseen. And somebody finally looks at you and says, I understand your struggle. Come and participate in this life of faith. And then the twist at the end. The payment, the same for all. We're going to end worship today at this table. This table that is a meal that Jesus sat with his friends, those who would betray him, and offered each and every one of them the same love and grace. Those who entered into his life earlier on, those who were newer in his life, those who would go about and help make the church that we know today, and those who would betray him for gold. Haven't we been both? You see, that's the strength and the power I see in this message, is God's divine generosity. This word in Greek, agathos, I'm not a Greek person, it's good. It doesn't say that the master is unjust. It says good, which is more than fair. Do you remember how the Bible started? God created the heavens and the earth, and he looked at it, and he said, come on, it is. God's justice is gracious. It's not transactional. And the timing of things that happen in our life, it's why I think it's so important for you to think about your faith journey. Because if you just live every day forward and don't recognize all the goodness that has been in your life, you may miss the consistency, the graciousness, the holiness of God working in your life, tapping your shoulder and saying, stop being idle, come and participate. It's free, it's full, and it's present in this room today. So the last will be first, and the first will be last. That means we are together. That means whatever you have accomplished here on earth, great. But without Jesus by your side, what is it? It's not that the rich man can't enter heaven. It's that that is not the merit that he brings to the table. It is his heart. It is his generosity. It is goodness. Even when we don't deserve it. And so as we enter into a time of communion, Scott, why don't you come up and join me? I'm just going to move on in. I always think about this table as being the past, the present, and the future of this church. This is a concrete example of God's goodness for us. 2,000 years ago, they sat around and ate bread and drank the wine given from Jesus. These are simple yet profound examples of how Christ is still working in our lives. So as you go about your week and you come and you are given this gift, you receive this gift, let it open your heart. Let it open your mind for the goodness that is your faith. Will you pray with me? Gracious and loving God, as we come forward tonight, we come forward knowing that sometimes we are selfish and we are looking at others. But ultimately, and only through your grace, your goodness, and your mercy, we are one. As we say these words and these prayers, let them seep into our hearts and our minds so that we can truly become what you have called us to be, children of God. Amen. Amen.
Join us now in the great thanksgiving. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and so with your people on earth and all of the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn, Holy, Holy, Holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made us with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night in which Jesus was betrayed, he took bread, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "This is my body, which is broken for you. Take, eat, and do this in remembrance of me."
When the supper was over, he took the cup, and he gave thanks to you, and he said, "Drink from this as often as you can, and do this in the forgiveness of your sins in remembrance of me." And so in remembrance of those mighty acts of Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's church offering for us as we now proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we will feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, and with the Holy Spirit and your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty God, now and forever. Amen. And now, with the confidence of the children of God, let us join together saying the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. I'd like those who are assisting with communion to come forward. For those of you here in person, we receive the elements by intinction, which is our fancy church word of saying we will offer you a piece of bread. You will dip it into the cup and take both elements together. There are gluten-free elements available in the center aisle. If you want to come forward and not receive communion, that is welcome also. Just put your hands on your chest and we will offer you a blessing. I invite you to enter into this time, recognizing the gift that God has given each and every one of us with this meal. Embrace it so that we can go out this week truly being God's church. The table is set.